remain upstanding for the opening prayer and reconciliation statement. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen. And the reconciliation statement reads, Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with the Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants past and present. Thank you. You may sit down. Before I continue with tonight's meeting, I'd just like to read a statement. It is expected that all members of the gallery will have respect for the council meeting that is taking place tonight and conduct themselves in a manner that is fitting for the council to conduct its business. As mayor and chairperson of this meeting, I will not tolerate members of the gallery who are disrespectful of the council and other members of the gallery during the conduct of this meeting. Should anyone act in a manner that I consider to be inappropriate or disrespectful to the conduct of the meeting, they will be called to order, failing which they will be directed to leave the chamber. Should any person so directed refuse to leave the chamber, the assistance of Victoria Police will be sought and the person will be removed in accordance with the Summary Offences Act 1988. In regard to Section 7 of this agenda, public question time, I remind the gallery that silence is to be maintained whilst the questions are being read out and an answer provided. Should the submitter of a question require clarification in regard to a public question presented, I as the chairperson may allow such clarification. However, I will not be permitting any other member of the gallery to seek clarification in regard to a question submitted by another person. Unless any member of the gallery has sought prior permission from council and received a written response allowing you to record any part of this meeting, no recordings will be permitted under any circumstances. Council does audio record the open session of the meeting, and recordings are available to members of the public on request to the Customer Engagement Unit of Council. Thank you for that, for your patience. Okay. Agenda item number 2, apologies and leave of absence. Item number 3, declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor.
Madam Mayor, I have a direct conflict of interest with item 8.7.
Thank you, Councillor Borg. Item number 4, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meetings.
I rise to move, where is it now? The minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 9th of April 2013 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who will second the motion?
I'm pleased to second that motion.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification? Do I have any councillor who opposes? I therefore declare the motion carried. Item number 5, petitions and joint letters.
No, Madam Mayor.
Item number 6, resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting.
No.
Item number 7, public question time. Thank you, Mr. Tory.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Of a number of questions submitted by members of the gallery this evening. First question is from Mr. Nathan Miles. Mr. Miles is in the gallery. His question is, Melton City Council is one of the fastest growing municipalities within the state. How can Council justify increasing rates 4% and at the same time cut the road budget by half, putting the community and road users at risk? This is not logical. The question is almost a submission to the draft budget. What Council does each year with the budget is determines what the appropriate allocation and division of scarce resources are amongst a variety of competing priorities, including roads, buildings, parks, other assets, and recurrent expenditure. That obviously involves, from time to time, significant shifts. However, if you look at the pattern over a period of time, I guess it gives a better indication of expenditure through a program rather than in one individual year. So I'm happy to provide those figures to you, and by all means, if you still maintain the view, then I suggest a budget submission along those lines would be appropriate. Next question is from Mr. Michael Mataluski, who's also in the gallery. He asks, in regards to the 2013-14 draft budget, I am concerned about the drastic reduction to the Capital Works Road budget by almost half, from $16 million to $8.9 million. Since the Melton City Council area is constantly referred to as the second fastest growth municipality in the Commonwealth, isn't it an unacceptable risk to reduce the funding to this area as traffic will only increase from the point from this point onwards? Also, with the development of the new library, isn't it important to provide books for it and not to slash the budget from $400,000 to zero? With respect to the first element of that question, I guess it's very much along the same lines as the question submitted by Mr. Miles, and I would basically make the same comments. I'm happy to provide you some more data in respect of the timeline series of commitments in the various areas of capital expenditure. In regard to the new library, there is a provision within the budget for $300,000 for new library books. I do note from your question, and I checked the schedule, I do note that it says zero. I'm not sure how that's come about. I'll need to refer that back to the finance section, but certainly in council deliberations, the amount for library books was $300,000, and that's the intent within the budget, and I'll need to find where that's been categorised. Next question is from A. Tuvana, who's also in the gallery. And this question is, how does the Council of Melton define sustainable development? It's perhaps a difficult question without more context, but I would define sustainable development as development of a type that is sustainable over time based upon the quadruple bottom line principles or criteria, which refer generally to economic sustainability.
Excuse me, sir. Order, please.
Economic sustainability, environmental sustainability, social sustainability, and governance. Next question is from Mr. David. Well, my understanding of the word sustainable and what I would mean by it when I use it is that over time it will endure and service the purpose for which it has been undertaken. Well, it depends upon the specific development.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey.
Next question is from Mr. David O'Connor. Mr. O'Connor's in the gallery, and he asks, Melton City Council has commissioned a retail and activity areas strategy to ensure that residents have access to effective, equitable and sustainable services and opportunities for employment. Council is seeking input to the strategy and is keen to understand how current residents use activity centres and hear their ideas for the future. What offline mechanism is Council using to gather input from residents in developing critical strategic outcomes? I'll refer this question to Mr. Les Stokes, who's the Acting General Manager of Planning and Development, to respond.
Great. Thank you, Kel and David, for your question. The Activity Centre and Retail Activity Centre strategy, is it extensive process of consultation proposed for that, though, in addition to seeking feedback via a web service. Council will also be holding community information sessions, I think, in June, but I'm not sure of the exact date, but we'll respond in writing to you, David, with that that detail, but that, those sessions will be advertised in the local paper, etc., for people to drop in and provide input. And in addition to that, the strategy will be out for public comment in a draft form prior to adoption. Obviously, it will be available on the web, but if people want a hard copy to review, that will be available at the counter at that time as well. Thank you.
Sorry?
We've already put
three questions in. I'm sorry, sir, the time frame, it does cut off at 7 o'clock. No, sir. After 7 o'clock, the questions are finished. No, excuse me, sir, I'm the chair. And I will disallow it. You are out of order. You are out of order. You are out of order. At 7 o'clock, we picked up the questions and that's it. Thank you, Mr. Tory.
Next question is from...
Sir, you are out of order. No, sir. One more time and I'll ask you to remove yourself from the chamber. Can I have security to please remove this gentleman because he is out of order. Please ask the gentleman to be removed. He is out of order. This meeting is adjourned. The police will be called to remove this gentleman out of order. Thank you.
you finished answering David?
I have, yep.
Thank you, councillors, members of the gallery. Thank you. We will resume the meeting and continue on with question time. Thank you, Mr. Tory.
The next question, Madam Mayor, is from Mr. Nathan Miles, who is in the gallery. His question is, residents are struggling to make ends meet due to the constant increase in living expenses, especially pensioners. A number of councillors made election promises in regards to rates. Can the councillors who promised to lower rates, cap rates at CPI, or keep rates low, please explain whether they now support an increase of 4% in rates? As you would be aware, the draft budget is an item later in the meeting, and I would anticipate that during the course of discussion on the draft budget, councillors will make statements in regard to whether they support or do not support the proposed increase in rates, which is, as you point out, 4%. I think that's it's a matter for debate at the council this evening, and that's the appropriate process in which councillors have the opportunity to express their views in respect to that proposition. Next question is from A. Tuvana, who's in the gallery. Question is, under the unlawful LGA 1989, council has the authority to waiver council rates and charges in full. Precisely under what circumstances will the City of Melton Council waiver rates and charges for residents? Has the Council of Melton ever, in its existence, waived council rates and charges? Or have they instead preferred to dispossess people of their homes and or land? The first comment I will make is that the Local Government Act is an act of the Parliament of the State of Victoria. It's the act under which the Council of the City of Melton and all councils in the State of Victoria are constituted. And I obviously disagree with the opening premise that the Local Government Act is unlawful. It has been lawfully enacted, and it is an act of the state. It is correct that council does have the authority to waiver council rates and charges in full. Under what circumstances will the City of Melton Council waiver rates and charges for residents? Council doesn't have a firm policy on what circumstances it would. It is a discretion under the Act, and council has the option to apply it. It would be only applied, in my understanding, in exceptional circumstances, and exactly what constitutes exceptional circumstances is not specified. Has the Council of Melton ever in its existence waived council rates and charges? I can't answer that because I don't know whether they have or not in their existence. I can state that over the past 10 years they have not been waived other than in one instance, which was to do with a school property and some period prior to the commencement of construction of the school. Has the Council of Melton, or have they instead preferred to dispossess people of their homes and or land? During the 11 years that I've worked for this council, we have sold two properties for failure to pay rates. Both of those properties were urban properties, vacant land, and in both instances, when the properties were sold, the excess obtained from the sale of the land over and above what was owing for the rates and charges was remitted to the registered owner of the land. Yes, it's both sold by public option.
Sorry, Ms. Tavani, you have asked your question. Mr. Tory has answered your question. Thank you.
I will have that done, yes. Next, last question this evening is from Mr. O'Connor, who's in the gallery. His question is, given the internet is widely employed by council with respect to public consultation, why was the recent rating strategy review restricted to physical attendance only, and why were residents not offered the opportunity to provide written submissions? I guess the short answer to that, David, is that the way that the evening was structured and what the intent of the information sharing evening was around trying to elicit from the community their views with respect to the rating structure that should apply within the municipality and what options that they thought should be looked at. You will note that the recommendation from that session in tonight's notice paper is that council form a rating reference group, and I would anticipate that part of the work of that reference group, should council endorse that proposition this evening, would be to determine the appropriate methodology for gathering community input. And I would be surprised if survey monkey internet use type approach wasn't employed. But anyway, that'll be a discussion at one of the early meetings of the reference group, if it is in fact created. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. We'll continue on with presentation of staff reports. Item number 8.1, authorising of affixing the common seal of council.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that items 1 and 2 be moved in block.
Thank you, Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to second that.
Do I have anyone who opposes? I therefore declare it carried and recommendations put. Councillors, I turn your attention to item number 8.3, Community Workshop Rating Strategy, and this will be presented by Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present to Council tonight a report on the recently held Community Workshop Rating Strategy Review forums. The Victorian Auditor General recently released a report expressing the view that councils generally throughout Victoria should develop rates policies in the context of a broader long-term rating strategy that is both informed by detailed rate modelling data consultation and engagement with the community. MAC2 Consulting was engaged to undertake the community consultation forums on behalf of this council and conducted two community forums on the 27th of March to discuss council's rating strategy. Approximately 10 residents attended the first forum and 30 to the second. The principles of fairness and equity must be at the heart of any local government rating strategy. However, agreeing exactly what is fair and what is equitable is somewhat harder and open to conjecture. It was felt that the council's goal should be to achieve a mix of rates and charges that will distribute these costs as fairly as possible across all ratepayer groups. The facilitator believed that consideration should be given to establishing a community-based rating strategy reference group. This approach has been taken at other councils and has been an effective way in engaging with the community, examining and explaining different rating policy directions. The terms of reference would need to be prepared and approved by council to govern the reference group and to clearly define its role. Should council choose to support the recommendation to pursue the development of a reference group, an engagement process will need to be undertaken seeking membership from across a range of groups and organisations within the municipality. There will be minimum financial costs involved in undertaking this, which could be accommodated within Council's current operational budget process. On the basis of the outcomes from the report from the Victorian Auditor General, it is considered appropriate that Council should consider improving the way it currently undertakes its rating strategy review process through the introduction of a rating strategy reference group. It is on this basis, Madam Mayor, that I present to Council the recommendation printed on page 17 of the agenda, which is that Council 1, adopt the recommendation to establish a community-based rating strategy reference group as contained within the report from MAC2 Consulting, and 2, develop a terms of reference for the establishment of a community-based rating strategy reference group to be considered by Council's Policy Review Panel. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this matter? Do I have a mover for the motion?
I'd like to move that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn.
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Item number 8.4, Ministerial Guidelines for Differential Rating, presented by Mr Peter Bean, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In 2012, the Victorian Parliament passed the Local Government Amendment Act 2012, which introduced a section of the Act that provides for the Minister for Local Government, by publishing a notice in the Government Gazette, to make guidelines for or with respect to the objectives of differential rating, suitable uses of differential rating powers, and the type or classes of land that are appropriate for differential rating. A council must have regard to any ministerial guidelines made under this legislation before declaring a differential rate for any land. The legislation also provides controls over council to prohibit them from making a declaration of a differential rate in respect of a type or class of land if the minister considers that the declaration would be inconsistent with any guidelines made. For some time, concerns have been raised to the government as to how particular councils may or may not be meeting the objectives of the Act by the application or non-application of differential rating decisions affecting them. Across the 79 municipal councils in Victoria, the different rating practices and strategies for differential rating have been developed with little guidance provided in the legislation as to how to achieve the facilitating objective in the Act of ensuring the equitable imposition of rates and charges. Differential rates are considered a very useful tool to address equity issues that may arise from the setting of council rates derived from property valuations. To this end, it is important that they are considered in the context of a range of revenue instruments of options available to local governments. Circumstances whereby common types of classes of land use consistently demonstrate significant relative rate disparities, including access to services arising from the use of a uniform rate, may be addressed by the use of differential rating powers. Common types of classes of land that circumstances may arise where a council may give consideration to reducing the rate burden through the use of a differential rate include categories such as farmland, which in this council's instance is known as rural land, and retirement village land. It is not appropriate to define differential rates by geographic location to specifically apply where there are very few assessments. Circumstances whereby significant rate volatility occurs as a result of large movements in valuation may be more appropriately addressed through the use of other revenue instruments such as a rebate or deferred rate instead of the use of differential rating. This council currently utilises its environmental enhancement rebate to address this situation that is raised in a section of the guidelines. This also applies in particular to land in the urban growth zone without an approved precinct structure plan in place. The guidelines clearly set out that it is not appropriate to utilise differential rating powers to prevent, mitigate or discourage legitimate land uses with the exception of vacant or derelict land. Examples of inappropriate uses of differential rating powers include but are not limited to venues such as gaming machine venues or casinos, liquor licence venues or outlets, fast food franchises and, as previously stated, land within the urban growth zone without an approved precinct structure plan in place. It is pleasing to note, Madam Mayor and Council, that the outcomes and recommendations of the guidelines produced reflect the current differential rating strategy of this Council. The guidelines highlighted a reduced differential rate for retirement villages and rural land, which this Council provides, and made specific mention that the land without a precinct structure plan should not be rated any different from Council's general rate. One area for consideration by Council will be its current process with reference to extractive industries, whereby these particular industries are very small in number in the municipality, and due consideration will need to be given as to the ability to charge a higher rate, as is currently the case. As Council's current rating strategy is compliant with the ministerial guidelines, there is a low level of risk involved in Council acknowledging the guidelines. On that basis, Madam Mayor, I present to Council the recommendation that the ministerial guidelines to differential rating attached as Appendix 1 to this agenda be received for information. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Bean. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a mover for this motion?
I'd like to move item 8.4, recommendation that the ministerial guidelines to differential rating be received for information.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried.
Item number 8.5, review of the environmental enhancement policy, presented by Les Stokes, Acting General Manager, Planning and Development. Thank you, Mr. Stokes.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, councillors. This report is presented to council reviewing the environmental enhancement policy and seeks approval for the recommendations presented within the review. The City of Melton's environmental enhancement policy, known as the EEP, has been in operation since the early 1990s. Changes were made to the program in 2012, which resulted in land within approved PSPs no longer being eligible to participate in the EEP and receive the rate rebate. The review investigated the effectiveness and reliance of the EEP within the current context of urban growth and looked at the Melton City Council's role in supporting the management of private land, ultimately recommending that land within the precinct structure plans be included within the program in the upcoming financial year. Over 160 people were consulted as part of the review, including 100 phone surveys of, with residents and 60 people who participated in one-on-one interviews. Of note was the results of the phone surveys, which found that 93% of participants felt that the EEP should remain as a high priority for the Melton City, and overall the EEP is considered an effective program, with 73% of respondents indicating such. An economic analysis of the EEP revealed that the current $1.87 million EEP program supports 17 jobs in the community, including 13 jobs relating to the direct expenditure by landowners on land management works. The review has affirmed the view that the EEP remains a vitally important program for council to offer support to rural residents. And with that, council, I recommend that you receive and note the report titled A Review of the City of Melton's Environmental Enhancement Policy, as it is attached in Appendix 1, and that you adopt the 9 recommendations, which are reflected, councillors, in the report. I won't read them all, but they are exactly as they occur on page 32 of the report in Appendix 1 also. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stokes. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this matter? Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, if I may just say a few words on this item that's before us.
Is it a question, Councillor Carley?
No, it's not. It was a statement.
Please refrain from statements until it either goes to debate. If you could somehow reword it to a question, that would be good.
Okay, no, I won't be able to do that, so I'll refrain from speaking.
Councillors, are there any other further clarification or questions? Do I have a mover for this motion?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have a seconder?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? Do I have a councillor who wants to speak on the motion? Thank you, Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say a few things in regards to this item. I'm well aware that there are people in our rural areas that are doing it hard. However, on this item before us, I must voice my concerns at the way these conclusions have come about. I have personal doubts that the consultation process was not reflective of the majority of views in our municipality. It is sad to be presented a survey that was conducted on only the people that are beneficiaries of this scheme. As we can see here in the item, it says 93% of participants feel that the EEP should remain a high priority for the Melton City. Well, of course, because they're actually receiving it. So I feel that it wasn't fair. I would have preferred if an impact study on this rebate would have been conducted on its effects on the delivery of our services to the whole community. Who misses out? Is it our children? Is it our elderly? Is it our young families are moving in? Who? For the sake of transparency, being responsible and good governance, I believe that Section D should be removed. Every resident in the wider community pays for this rebate, and it would be irresponsible for us to lock it in for 4 years without reviewing this, especially when we are one of the fastest growing municipalities and there is always change occurring.
Councillor Carley, are you recommending, moving an amendment?
Excluding D?
No, I'm just expressing
what I personally feel in regards to item D.
Thank you. I just wasn't sure if it was an amendment or...
No.
Okay. So it moved by Councillor Quagliari, seconded by Councillor Dunn. Are there anyone who opposes the motion? Is there any councillor who opposes the motion? Is there any councillor who abstains from the motion? I therefore declare it carried.
Madam Mayor, can I call a division,
thank
please?
Thank you, yes. Just asking for a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Turner, Councillor Quagliari, Councillor Dunn, Councillor Majlik, Councillor Ramsey, all those abstaining from the vote, please raise your hand. Councillor Borg, Councillor Carley. I therefore declare the motion carried. Thank you, councillors. 8.6, Notice of Motion 338, Junior Counsel for the Municipality, presented by Mr Murray Heaney, General Manager for Community Services. Thank you, Mr Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and councillors. Councillors, this is brought to the table this evening after a Notice of Motion 338 was tabled at a council meeting last year in November. Council officers to investigate the possibility of starting a junior council for the municipality. A report was presented and endorsed at the ordinary meeting of council on the 13th of December 2012, recommending that a consultation process with schools and youth community-based groups occur to ascertain the level of interest in the junior council initiative, with a report being provided to council detailing the response of that. All City of Melton Government, Independent and Catholic Education Office secondary and P9 schools in the municipality were included in that consultation process. Additionally, local Scouts and Girl Guides groups were also consulted as part of a request at that time at that council meeting. As from the end of March 2013, the schools on page 133, which is Creekside College, Stroughton, Southern Cross Grammar, Springside College, responded to the invitation to register for such an interest of the Youth Council. The expressions of interest is sufficient to recommend initiating the Junior Council program for a trial period of 18 months. It is expected that once initiated, interest from other schools will be received and additional students will be co-opted into the program, we would hope. So, councillors, I suppose from the School Council Initiative, a Junior Council Initiative will seek to build upon established network of student representative councils, what's known as SRCs, in the local school system by conveying a bi-monthly combined meeting of nominated delegates from that local school. The bi-monthly meeting will feature a guest speaker, an open debate on topics nominated by councillors, and a section for general business where delegates can raise items for further investigation by councillors. The target group of this is in years 7 to 10 councillors. At this stage, we're not assuming any additional costs. We put forward to you the two recommendations on page 133, Madam Mayor, and that is council endorse the development of such a junior council program in the municipality, and recommendation two, that the junior council be established and trialled for the 18-month term commencing from the 1st of June 2013, from June 2013, and a report, of course, to be tabled at a future council meeting. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. I do have a question. Mr Heaney, how is this different to the other programs that council offers to youth within our municipality?
There are a number of programs we offer to our young people in the municipality. There's YAC groups, there's special interest groups, etc. I think this will be a specific program that will encourage young people to be involved in, I suppose, the future world of politics, maybe, but also an understanding of local government generally, and as an opportunity for those individuals, whoever they may be, to discuss, as it's indicated in the report, generate a number of discussions with the council and present them accordingly.
Thank you, Ms. Deeney. Does any other councillor have any questions in regards to this item? Councillor Ramsey.
I just want some clarification. It says P to 9 here, but all the schools that have identified so far are the senior schools or the high schools?
Yep.
Have we actually sought expressions of interest from the younger ones, or are they not to be included in this?
At the moment, we're saying years 7 to 10 we're targeting, which was the interest, and that's noted on page 134.
Councillors, any other questions? Councillor Borg.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Heaney, two questions, if I may. The first one is that when this, if this is accepted tonight, the $41,000 for the employee to run the program, is that already budgeted for in the forthcoming budget that is coming up to Council tonight for consideration?
Yeah, what we're saying at the moment, Councillor Borg, through you, Madam Mayor, is that we'll trial this for 18 months at in the existing resources we have within the youth services team. And again, when coming back in 18 months, we would maybe come back if Council wants to pursue that on a permanent basis. It may come at some $40,000, but at this time there's no cost. We'll absorb that in the current system.
Thank you. And my second question, if I may, Madam Mayor. When this first came up, Mr. Heaney, I asked the question that if, now that we're engaging with schools and we're wanting to see, you know, that active participation and, you know, generating the interest in our future leaders, our grants process doesn't allow for, you know, the HRV, but I'm talking about the ones that come, the community
Council
funding
grants.
Program. That's
yep.
correct. Are we now looking at some sort of avenue that schools can engage further and that we can show that extra support where they can, you know, enter with projects, with community groups and such things? Because I think that if we're doing something like this, obviously I think the kids are going to bring something valuable to the table. And then if we're doing this, I can see the benefits then, you know, through the school community, which is our community anyway, because they do live in our community.
Yeah, noted, Councillor Borg. Look, we're reviewing our council grants program at the moment. Obviously the grants programs that are out there in other community assets, as in West Waters, etc., are a bit different. But we're coming back to Council on recommendation of how to revise that, and I note your comments as you did last time when we tabled this one.
Thank you.
Councillors, any other questions in regards to this item? I'd actually like to stand and move the motion. It's a very exciting project indeed, and I believe it's a unique and different way in which we can instill and provide an outlet to harness civic leadership and governance for our youth and to give them an opportunity and harness their knowledge and passion to one day probably sit in these very chairs and lead our community. It also aligns with the new draft council plan under 3.2.2, which enhanced the capacity of local residents through programs that develop and promote local leadership and community participation pathways. So I'm happy to move the motion. Do I have a seconder?
I'd be honoured to second it, and I want to congratulate Madam Mayor for actually bringing this to the table and getting this off the ground, because it's been touted for a little while now, but it's good to see it being formalised in such a way. And it really brightens the chamber up when we have school children and senior school children make use of it, and I see the debate they bring, and it brings everybody back to basics when you hear the young ones debate.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Thank you, councillors. Item agenda 8.7.
Madam Mayor, I rise to declare a conflict of interest for this item.
Thank you, Councillor Borg. If the records could note that Councillor Borg is exiting the chamber. Councillors, 8.7, Ainsborough Recreation Reserve Master Plan, presented by Morrie Heaney. Mr. Morrie Heaney, General Manager for Community Services. Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, again. Councillors, again, this was a further report presented pre-Christmas last year on the draft Ainsborough Rec Reserve Master Plan, and that report endorsed the recommendation that obviously the Master Plan go out to consultation for at least 2 months. And, of course, we report back to Council on the findings of that consultation process. The consultation process, I may just touch on, Madam Mayor, was highly consulted within the Ainsbury estate, if you like. Some 584 households received a copy of the draft master plan and were invited to an open house consultation session, which occurred in the Ainsbury estate and was highly successful. We also advertised this on Council's website, of course, seeking expressions from residents, groups, etc. A number of other consultations noted on page 138, councillors, for you to review if you desire. Generally, the feedback of the master plan was supportive from the residents in the Ainsbury estate and the groups, and was highly sought. The general feedback we have that bring it on sooner rather than later, if I can use those words. And stage one of the master plan will see the development of one senior size AFL cricket oval and a synthetic playing wicket, associated infrastructure, etc., barbecued and some parking. It then rolls on to stage 2, 3, 4 and 5 and some identified future capacity for service delivery depending on council's budgets. The master plan is a draft at this stage, or has been a draft at this stage. Once adopted this evening, we'll advise the developers to proceed accordingly if council endorses the recommendations on this report. If I can just point out, councillors, for your awareness, on Appendix 1 on page 139 of this report is the overall development of the reserve in Ainsbury. And at the back of that page, councillors, Appendix 2 gives you a stage process of that over the coming years as the estate develops, of course. The consultations, there were 34 comments received and they're appended on Appendix 3 just for your comments, but generally great support for the master plan. So I won't hold the council up anymore. It's a positive initiative. The developer's keen to move forward as soon as possible to get this playing space into this community and have it available for use, as I said, as soon as possible. So I'll put forward to you the recommendation that council endorse the Rec Reserve Master Plan as appended on Appendix 1, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a mover for this motion?
I'd love to move it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. If we could ask Councillor Borg back into the chamber, please. Thank you, councillors. I turn your attention to item 8.8, Sport and Recreation Victoria Community Facility Funding Program Outcomes 2013/2014, presented by Mr. Maury Heaney, General Manager for Community Services.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, this report's really a good news story on advocacy that the council has been doing and the officers have been progressing with over the last 12 months. The report provides an overview of some initiatives, if you like, where council has been advised of receiving capital funding for council infrastructure and basically leisure use for the future, or now and into the future. If you look at page 150, it indicates in the table outlined on that page, we've received $650,000 for the Arnolds Creek Recreational Reserve construction, if you like, which will be a couple of ovals and pavilions. $100,000 for Brookside Community Pavilion in our eastern sector, and again in Melton Township, $100,000 towards some capital improvements of McPherson Park soccer change rooms, which is a subject for discussion in the draft budget. And a previous report, Madam Mayor, if I can, where Council requested officers, if you like, to proceed and deliver the Melton City Aquatic Plan 2013 to 2033, and we said at that stage we're to try and secure, if you like, some additional funds to offset council's pain. I'm happy to say on this occasion we've secured $30,000 for that initiative, and that initiative is has commenced already, so that softens the burden of council's financial coffers, if you like, on us securing that. So the confirmation of funding for leisure opportunities, if you like, totals around about $880,000 to date, and there's more in the pipeline and always will be, councillors, and it's our job to try and secure as many dollars as we can to offset the financial pain of providing the service delivery, but of course most importantly to get the infrastructure on the ground for our community. So really it's a note that $880,000 has been secured by SRV for this term, but I suggest also, councillors, in that recommendation that we write to the relevant ministers as outlined on page 149, thanking the state government for their grants and support under this program. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. Does any councillor require any further clarification or questions? Do I have a mover for this motion?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move this, and in doing so, I'd like to congratulate the council officers on the excellent work they're doing, getting out external grants. In this time of massive competition for state funding, it's another great result for our officers and our council.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor, and endorse everything Councillor Turner said.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Item 8.9, City of Melton Council Plan 2013/2017 draft, presented by Mr. Murray Heaney, General Manager for Community Services. Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and again, councillors. The council plan is prepared in accordance with the Local Government Act 1989, where each council must produce a four-year council plan by the 30th of June in the year following a general council election. The draft council plan, the document this evening for 2013-2017, details the direction and targeted outcomes of the council over the next 4 years. It describes the city's mission, its values, its vision, objectives and strategies, aligning them with our corporate plans and the agile and future, the existing now and future annual budget processes. The draft council plan 2013-17, councillors, provides a new vision. This will see the future development of the City of Melton. Council has developed its vision as a proud community growing together. Again, with that vision, there will be four strategies and four priority areas, if you like, in the draft document. And they are managing our growth, a well-governed and leading organisation, diverse, confident, inclusive communities, and the fourth theme will be community health and wellbeing. A full copy of the draft council plan, councillors, can be found Appendix 1 in this report, at the back of this report. Consultation has occurred, of course, and undertaken over the past few years by various council services and governments and state agencies. Feedback during events such as the Councillor Community Engagement Days and community festivals and events. Pursuant to Section 129 of that Local Government Act, the draft council plan 2013-2017 will be placed on public exhibition for 28 days. Pending Council's adoption of this report, the draft council plan will be made available for viewing on Council's website, at the civic centres and libraries from the 1st of May 2013, closing at 5 p.m. on the 28th of May 2013. So, Madam Mayor and Councillors, a large piece of strategic work's taken account by officers and the Council to determine, obviously, the vision and the themes. This is a draft plan. It's a chance for the community and whoever to provide feedback to the Council on this draft plan. It's a working document at this stage. So at the moment, Madam Mayor, I put you the three recommendations on page 152 of this report. And of course, that Council endorsed the draft Council plan of 2013-17 as appended. Council authorised the draft plan 2013-2017 to be placed on public exhibition for the 28 days, pursuant to Section 129 of the Local Government Act, and a report be tabled at the 25th of June 2013 at the ordinary meeting of Council and completion of the consultation process to enable formal adoption of the City of Melton Council plan 2013-2017. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney, and a tremendous piece of work to your department, Mr. Heaney, including Fiona McPherson and also Adam Boyle. So thank you for the detailed report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillors, do I have any questions in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
Madam Mayor, you took the words right out of my mouth. I wanted to not only move the recommendation but acknowledge the power of work that went into it from Ms. Fiona McPherson and especially Mr. Adam Boyle. When you talk about officers doing their jobs, there were hundreds of hours from, and every council employee had an input into this council plan before it even came to council, and we worked on it religiously over a long weekend and then over nights in council. So there has been so much put into this. I want the council or the community to take hold of it, read it, capture the highlights, and then if there's anything we've missed, come back to us in a month's time. But please acknowledge, Mr. Heaney, please acknowledge those two in particular. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Madam Mayor, if I may.
Could I just get a seconder before we speak further on the matter?
I'd like to second the seconder.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Look, from the officer's point of view, again, the thanks to the Council for the direction and the leadership and the debate at times with officers on the direction that they wanted to proceed with this Council plan. Highly acknowledged and a great piece of work. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Do I have any Councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Item number 8.10, preparation of the Municipal Budget 2013-2014, presented by Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present to Council this evening for its consideration and endorsement the draft 2013 Municipal Budget and commence the statutory process to exhibit this draft budget and receive submissions. Section 127 of the Local Government Act 1989 requires the Council to prepare a budget each financial year. The budget must contain standard statements in the form and containing the matters required by the regulations, which are set out within the budget document attached as Appendix 1, and including a description of the activities and initiatives to be funded in the budget statement of how they will contribute to achieving the strategic objectives in the Council plan, which Mr. Heaney has just presented to Council, as well as separate identifying key strategic activities to be undertaken during the year in relation to each key strategic activity. Council commenced its current budget process in January, and officers have prepared the draft budget, giving consideration to the growing needs of our community, the service delivery demands, high priority requests received from the public via various forums and surveys, and of course requests from councillors representing their constituents. It has provided a platform for Council to understand and discuss the community's needs over the next 5 to 10 years, as well as the most effective direction in the forthcoming 12-month period. After much review and discussion, the draft budget has been finalised and presented for consideration. It has been prepared for public display and to receive public comment submissions as part of this Section 223 requirement. Submissions will close on the 30th of May 2013 and will then be considered by Council's Section 223 Submissions Committee on Tuesday, the 11th of June 2013. It is proposed that the budget will be adopted by Council or further considered by Council for the proposed adoption of the Council at its ordinary meeting to be held on the 25th of June. The major highlights of the draft budget include a 4% increase in the level of rates and charges, which is less than our neighbouring councils, and highlights Council's ability to continue to deliver its diverse range of services and high standard of infrastructure and ensuring that it is considering the needs of its community. A levy of $123 per property will be applied as the municipal charge for the forthcoming year to all properties. Net new borrowings of $658,320 for the year after other loan repayments are offset, and a capital expenditure budget of $36.5 million. This capital expenditure is made up of $17.5 million for community buildings, $8.9 million for road infrastructure works, $4.1 million for works and recreation assets, $2.5 million for land acquisition, and $3.5 million for a range of other projects. The more significant new projects and initiatives are set out on page 209 of the Council agenda. Council initiatives considered as part of the 2013-14 budget have been evaluated and incorporated into the Capital Works Program and operational budgets. Some of these initiatives have been programs such as an award ceremony for children with disabilities, the establishment of a grandparents' playgroup, and an increase of $5 in the existing pensioner rebate offered to ratepayers. As has been previously mentioned in this meeting, the Minister for Local Government has recently introduced guidelines in relation to the application of differential rates. This is in the context of the sector debate about the merits of legalities of using differential rates as policy incentives or disincentives, and in the pursuit of local government social policy goals. Council's current rating strategy reflects the outcomes and recommendations of the guidelines, and Council is not determined to vary this in any further way. From the 1st of July, a fire services levy will come into effect, replacing the insurance-based levy that currently existed in years gone by. The legislation passed prescribes that the payment of the contribution is to be included in Council's annual rate notice and is the responsibility of the municipality to collect the levy on behalf of the state government. The levy is calculated using a formula which is made up of a number of components, being a fixed charge plus a percentage of the capital improved value of the property, less any concessions if eligible. Council gains no benefit from the collection of this levy, although it does receive an administration fee for undertaking the process on behalf of the state government. Page 211 of the council agenda sets out the application of council's environmental enhancement rebate in non-residential zones of the municipality, which is a slight variation from the application of that rebate in the current year's budget. Council chose to undertake a different engagement process this year in comparison to previous years. Previously, it had held two information sessions during the submissions process, but this year took a different direction and hosted a community engagement day on Saturday, the 2nd of February, seeking community input into initiatives and enhancements that could be considered in the budget process. Public advertisements were placed and invitations were forwarded to all local clubs and groups, inviting them to participate in the day. Council received strong interest from the community throughout this day and received in excess of 50 submissions relating to enhancement of service delivery and requests for the introduction of improvements to infrastructure. Submissions supported by Council have been incorporated into the draft budget and the capital work schedule for recurrent service delivery as appropriate. Council also hosted 4 days at different locations throughout the municipality where residents could meet the Mayor and ward councillors to also come and discuss any initiatives or enhancements that they wish to have considered within the budget process. This drew 30 further submissions for consideration by Council. An overview document which has previously been presented at the information sessions has been produced and will be available at the conclusion of the Council meeting for the public to take home and peruse. This is a typical document that we presented at our former presentation nights. It's a very easy set-out document that makes sort of the cumbersome job of reading the budget document attached as Appendix 1 more grammatical and more diagrammatic for people to understand. So that will be available outside the doors on a chair for you to take home this evening. Should a member of the public not have access to Council's website facility, they can contact the Council officers and a copy of the budget will be forwarded to them, including the overview document. The Section 223 Committee will consider all submissions as previously stated, and I reiterate we will receive submissions up to the 30th of May, close of business, at which time those matters will be considered at a scheduled meeting on Tuesday the 11th of June, which that committee will then make recommendations for the Council to consider in considering its final adoption of the draft budget at the ordinary meeting on the 25th of June. Council is required to have the budget adopted by 31 August. Council could defer endorsing the draft budget at this time, which would delay the consultation process. There is no reason to defer commencing the public consultation process, as it will allow the maximum amount of time for Council to consider submissions received and make any adjustments to the draft budget. I therefore present, Madam Mayor, to Council the recommendation printed on page 207, which is in 5 parts, and in summary recommends that Council adopt the draft budget for the purposes of the Local Government Act 1989 and proceed with the statutory process as beginning public notice, receiving submissions, considering those submissions in accordance with the same Act, for then Council to consider the recommendations and further consider the draft budget at its ordinary meeting of Council to be held on the 25th of June 2013. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor require any further clarification or questions in regards to this matter? I have a question, Mr. Bean. Obviously, this draft budget has been discussed and deliberated quite a bit to get to this stage. Could you please give, I guess, council an indication of how many meetings council and executive staff had undertaken to get the draft budget to this stage?
I may need some assistance with this matter, Mayor, but certainly Council gave the commitment of the Community Engagement Day in February. It spent a weekend deliberating over both the Council plan and the municipal budget. It had the 4 community engagement sessions with the Mayor and ward councillors to further discuss things with the community. Following that, I believe there were probably six sessions for the councillors, 6 nights that the Council spent formulating the budget and trying to get that equitable and balanced document that they believe is delivered as attached as Appendix 1. And then, of course, we have what's before us tonight and then the Section 223 committee process.
And did councillors have various opportunities to identify their concerns of what they would like to see in the budget in all of those meetings? And
I believe so, Madam Mayor. Yeah.
And did any councillor make any special note in any of them, in any of the many budget briefings that we had, that they did not agree with the rate increase of 4%?
Not to my knowledge, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Councillors, do I have a mover for this motion?
Madam Chair, sorry, Councillor, before it's moved, I just have one question that I just
Councillor Carlin,
thank you. I just like to ask if I could, exactly how many houses are in the Atherston estate at the moment, or if there's any houses being built over there, or a rough number? Or...
I think there's about 30 that are either constructed or under construction. I believe there's somewhere around 120 to 50 lots that have been sold. But, you know, that's
at the moment,
just
though.
A visual.